Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 48. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Christ Jesus, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son who showed us how to live here on earth and now is preparing a place for us, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just bless Bobby as he brings your word. Speak through him, Lord. May we listen. May we learn. May we grow. And may we tell others about you, Lord, because you are so wonderful. You created us. Lord, I just ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks,
please be
Paul.
Seated.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Glee Valley Church. My name is Bobby. I'm the pastor here. It is a pleasure to have you this morning. Loved you. If you are new, as you heard our Deacon Paul come up and announce that in your bulletins there is a guest card in there. If you want to know more about who we are, please fill that out. We'd love to be able to chat with you afterwards. And don't forget as well, if you're here, you're not a Christian, and you're exploring the claims of Christ with us, that Bible is for you. I would love to get together and read it with you and answer any questions that you may have. That would be my pleasure and privilege to do so. So we are in a series right now where we are walking through the book of Acts, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The name of our series, the big overarching idea, is mission. That we as people of God are sent to speak and respond to God's work of redemption. That we are sent, that we go, that we speak, we proclaim, that we respond with our lives. And the fact that God is doing something already, that he is redeeming, and that we are invited to be a part of his work of redemption. Now, the big picture of the book of Acts, I love this. This is from the Gospel Transformation Bible. It says this is kind of like the overarching story of Acts up on the screen. The story of God's grace flooding out to the world from the cross and resurrection of Jesus in Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So it almost gives the idea of like water springing up from the cross and resurrection, from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, and then it begins to just spread, and it starts to go and go and go and go. And that's what we're following along in the book of Acts, is this idea of God's incredible grace and his forgiveness offered through his Son, Jesus Christ, is spreading, and it spread so far that it spread to a small little area here in Santa Barbara. And in 1873, about five families, I think four or five families, right over hill in this whole area, it was called Hill Ranch at one point, decided they wanted to take this message and form a church and proclaim the very things that we're going to be proclaiming this morning. And that was the foundations of Goleta Valley Church, the church that you're in presently. That's our history. We're one of the oldest churches in Goleta. And it's based upon this message, this simple message of the grace of God flooding out into the world. Now, as a review, we have seen Stephen calling a bunch of religious leaders stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and then they killed him for it. A magician named Simon tries to buy the Holy Spirit. Philip baptizes a eunuch and then teleports into nowhere. This guy named Saul, who's killing Christians, becomes a Christian himself. And Peter has a vision of a blanket with animals on it and is told to kill and eat them. Yep. The church has always been a little weird and a little messy. And it still is. As I look around, we are a little weird. Are we not? I include myself. I'm in this with you. And we are a little messy. Our immediate context is that the Jewish Christians assumed the promises of God were for the people of God, but the Jews thought that it was just for the Jews. As you remember last week, we saw Acts 1:8, which is the kind of the thesis verse of the entire book of Acts, that you will be called witnesses. But I will give you power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And what they thought that was talking about was that I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit to go and find Jews, those are the called by God under the promises of God, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And where we're picking up in this story is that hermeneutic, or that translation of understanding of God's word, is being changed in Peter's mind as God changes Peter's mind by opening up the gospel to non-Jewish people. And that's where we pick up our story. It says that, so Peter sees a vision of unclean animals and is told to kill and eat while he's staying at a guy's house who tans hides, where he makes basically leather. And he says no, and then we got the big idea from last week. What God has called clean, do not call unclean. And if you are a believer in Christ, that means you. That you are far, if you are a believer, if you indeed have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, then you are clean. No matter how messed up the church seems, it is also clean. And the way we view others, well, the gospel is for everybody. The gospel is for everybody. So our title this morning and my 3 points are a man, a message, and a manifestation. A man, a message, and a manifestation. In verse 34, we see the story picks back up. So Peter, let's stop there. Might be a long sermon. Just kidding. He was a regular guy. He was a fisherman. So for those of you that don't know the backstory to this guy named Peter, there's really nothing special. He followed Jesus. He tripped on his tongue often. He was zealous to a fault. He denied Jesus in a pinch and was outran by his younger disciple, John. And so I picture him kind of cussing every once in a while, maybe chewing if there was chew back then. I don't know why. But he was just a fisherman. Like, just think of, what's that one reality show where they get they're really good, the lobsters are in the thank you, Alaskan Catch or whatever it is. Deadliest Catch, thank you. That's not in my notes, I probably shouldn't have brought it up. So the point is that, like, think of a guy like that, just kind of a hardcore, he was a fisherman. Tripped on his tongue often. He wanted to please Jesus so much, but he was zealous to a fault, and he was out of shape. But he was just a man. So just think about Peter for a second. He was just a man. So all the men in the room, if you're a man, please raise your hands. Okay, got to work on that. He was just a man, but he was a man with a powerful, life-transforming, eternity-changing message. And much like Peter, we are men. If you look up on the screen, look at Matthew 16, it says this. Jesus is talking to them, and he asked them this question. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, the same Peter that we're talking about, replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You see, what makes a man a man? What makes a man a true man is who he says Christ is. Is who he says Christ is. And just like it's in this verse, the rock is not is the confession of Peter was just a man. Now, what is this? What will this confession do? Look, it will knock down the walls of the walls of hell. It'll knock them down. It's the key to heaven, and is what sets the hearts and souls of men free. But then, it begs the question: is it Peter? Is Peter the rock? His name is Petros. We see his name referring to the rock. But the answer is yes and no. See, the Catholic Church takes this, and that's where they get the Pope authority, and that's where, you know, because they have the lineage of Peter and so on and so forth. But really, if you look at this verse, it's the Greek says, because of what you just said, Peter, you see, Peter is just a man, but he's a man with a confession, and that confession combined with that man, a man who believes it, it will knock down the walls of hell, is the key to heaven, and is what sets hearts and souls of men free. Four verses later, Peter tries to talk Jesus out of dying on the cross. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, we know that Peter didn't fully get it. Like he didn't understand fully what he was saying. But he understood this, Jesus was the Christ. And that when you take that confession applied to a human person that says, "I believe that," then that person now gets to work with God to knock the walls of hell down. How many of you want to see that? That we get to have the, like we get to, with the message, unlock the idea of heaven for people. See their eternity change. How many people want to see that? And it what sets the hearts and souls of men free. Where I once was bound, I'm now free. Where I once was blind, now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Now I'm alive. See, Jesus uses this point. He uses this to point to the gospel and its foundation and the life of believers and ultimately the church. And the question is, are we not like Peter? Nothing special, right? I mean, it would be really easy for us to really get to know who we are if we just put a cam that we didn't know about in our driver's seat. You get what I'm saying? Like, how do you drive down the 101 during rush hour when there's traffic? We would know how godly you are at that point. Or ungodly, right? When someone cuts you off, when you're trying to do the right thing and you get weird gang signs that don't mean good things. And see, we don't have anything to bring to the table like Peter. It's not like when God looks from heaven, he looks down at your life and goes, "Wow! Did you see what he just did? That was incredible." Why? Well, because we're all sinners. We all have in our lives, if you're here and you're not a Christian, the word sin is ultimately in its definition is missing the mark, but also it's breaking God's commands. You see, we have broken God's commands. We were created in a certain way to live a certain way, but we have rebelled against that. Basically, it's like we were supposed to reflect in a mirror, and then we broke the mirror. We basically said, "Forget you, God," and then we went about our own way, and there is a punishment for that. And all of us, sin levels the playing field in our regards to our approach to God, just like Peter. But what makes the difference? If all of us are sinners, then what really changes somebody to make them want to and then live out what God has planned for their lives? What makes a man a true man? It's who do you say Christ is? Who do you say Christ is? Husbands, who do you say Christ is? Wives, who do you believe Christ is? Self, who do you say Christ is? Like, when I mean self, it's like we get up as Christians daily and we need to remind ourselves. How many of you guys wake up praising God? I know there's a few of you. I know that you're out there. The rest of us, can we just be honest? We don't. We wake up grumpy. I mean, both my wife and I woke up with headaches this morning, just kind of like, I think we need a new mattress. Like, what is going on? I'm just not feeling good. And I think, depending on my morning, I remember that I'm a Christian after my cup of coffee, right? Like, that's just kind of how life is. Like, you know, all right, now I got you talking. All right. Clearly, coffee is the way to your heart. So, good to know. But here's the thing. All of us need to daily remind ourselves, self, who do you say Christ is? You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. See, that's what changes a person who's broken and frail and far from God and rebellious against God and makes him whole, causes him to be born again. And then as a Christian, once you've been born again, you remember what Christ has done. And then in that, we remember that we are clean, that God has called us clean based on our justification, that because of the cross of Jesus Christ, our sin has been removed and Jesus's righteousness has been declared to us. So God from heaven says innocent. And so we've been declared righteous. We've been declared clean. And we remind ourselves of that, that we believe. This is what God did in Peter, and this is what God is doing today, like right now. Is not God in the same business of saving souls? You see, if you look back in chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, when Peter first enters in, we looked at this last week but didn't hit on it very largely, that Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up saying, stand up, I too am a man. See, he's just a man. But the difference is he's a man with a message. And so are we. So are we. Now, what is this message? Verse 34, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, which this is the gospel now is for all people, not just the Jews. The gospel is now for us. The gospel is for everyone. And like we looked at last week, when we look out into the world, we see God has said, they are created in my image. And so we preach as though he is calling everyone. And we treat people with a certain integrity. Because we don't know who God's going to save and who isn't, so we treat all as though they've been introduced to God and the gospel. The gospel is for all. Verse 35. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. This is not an acceptance of God outside the gospel, but rather a prepared heart. So what that's saying is God is now preparing hearts for the gospel. And then verse 37, you see, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John the Baptist proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. This speaks of the life of Christ. Again, this is the message. The life of Jesus. God has come and lived the life we couldn't perfectly. Like, it's such an important key to the gospel. As Christians, we need to understand that it's not our record of unrighteousness that defines us. But it is the very life of Jesus and his eternal righteousness that has been declared to us. So when God sees us, does he see your record or does he see Jesus' record? He sees us through the record of Jesus. So what does that mean? So then why did God have to come and live the life we couldn't? Because every step that he took, he was fulfilling the righteous requirement that God has put on humanity. Every word he spoke, every breath he breathed, he was doing that for us so that when we believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his record is now granted to us. Our criminal record removed. And the record of an innocent man declared to us. The life of Jesus. And then verse 39. We were all witnesses of both what he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. The message, again, the gospel is for all. The gospel is the life of Jesus. The gospel is the death of Christ. Why did he have to die? Because he took our sins with him to the cross. Like, if you're here and you're not a Christian, and all this sounds insane, just try to come along with the story with me. Like, I'm going to challenge you to believe it, but you don't have to believe this. You're more than welcome to come here and not become a Christian as long as you can. And explore the claims of Jesus. But just so you're not leaving here with ambiguousness, there is a sin that we do, as I explained earlier. And when Jesus came and lived that life that we just talked about, he fulfilled the righteous requirement for humanity, for all of us. But when he died on that cross, all the sin that we have acquired, it begins to be poured on Jesus. And the punishment, which is why he had to be God, because an eternal God was pouring out an eternal punishment on an eternal being. But because he was eternal, he was able to quench, like a sponge, all the wrath of God in himself, the death of Jesus Christ. He did all that for you. But the story does not end there. Verse 40, but God raised him from the dead. But God raised him on the third day, and he was made to appear, not only to the people, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Overcame death once and for all. When he died on that cross, he said, "It is finished," knowing that he would be resurrected. Now, as he has life, he imparts that life to us. He imparts that life to us. So now we can say, "I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was bound, now I'm free." This is the gospel message. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Now that is when humanity, a broken humanity, meets divinity through the grace of Jesus Christ. And there is a collision of what I call faith, where this person actually believes this crazy stuff that I'm saying is true. Then all of a sudden, his sin removed, righteousness applied. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes a dwelling. God himself dwells in us. And then from that, it changes what we believe about ourselves. Therefore, the trajectory on how we live. Therefore, we preach. We proclaim with our words and with our life. We speak and respond. It's called sanctification. That we have been justified by the cross of Jesus Christ, and now we are being sanctified, being set apart, being made holy by the grace of God. And verse 43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And that same invitation goes out to all of us today. If you are here and you are not a Christian, you are invited to the grace of God. You were invited to be forgiven of your sins. And it wasn't just one guy standing up and proclaiming that he had the way. It says here that to him all the prophets bear witness. In other words, you have what's called the Old Testament, which is right about there, give or take a page or two. All of this with these prophecies foretelling of the coming of Jesus Christ, so that when he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me," Jesus says it with the authority of the history of Israel, ultimately God redeeming mankind. There are no templates to tell someone about the gospel. But there are elements, key elements, that are the gospel. And so for those of you that are Christians, I just want to take a minute and talk to you about this. Because I think when I up here and I freak out about Jesus, right? How many of you guys know that's pretty much every Sunday? You know? Get all crazy. I'm known for, at least at one point, I was told this morning, at one point in my sermon, like I start using my hands a lot and I leave, you know, I'm all over here and I do this. But I want to speak to the fact that I want to be really clear. You see, I'm here to encourage you with what God has asked you to do in response to the grace of God, okay? I'm not here to manipulate you or to like freak out enough so you get it. You were called as a Christian to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what are the elements? So maybe you just don't know or aren't sure. So I'm just going to break this down really easy. The key elements of the gospel are, number one, Jesus. Jesus. You start with him. What do you believe about Jesus? Like, say you're in a conversation with somebody, you just simply ask the question, hey, what do you believe about Jesus? And then they answer. And then you can figure out from there what they actually believe about. You start with Jesus. And it may seem obvious, right? But we can't assume what people know or have heard. So you start there because there are many different versions of Jesus. And I don't mean that there are many different Jesuses. There's one Jesus who came and lived and died for our sins. But people believe these crazy things. Like, it would be like if, somebody said, hey, have you met a guy named Bobby? They're like, oh, yeah, he's a pastor, right? And you're like, oh, yeah, he's a pastor. And then you start to explain him, and you say, he has bright yellow hair, a clean-shaven face, and, like, brown eyes. Does that define me? No. But up until a point, it seemed like there was a guy named Bobby that you guys both knew, right? Much in the same way, when we talk about Jesus Christ, people have different explanations and understandings of this guy, Jesus. The Mormons believe that he is the brother of Satan. The Muslims believe that he is a prophet, but just a human. Like, you start going down the line of different major religions, and he's a good guy according to the Buddhists. He's one of the many gods in Hinduism. You can kind of go on and on. Up until a point, it sounds like the same Jesus, but there's a point when it's like, no, you're actually talking about somebody else. So start with Jesus. Number two, elements of the gospel, death on the cross. Why did he die? For our sins. What are sins? When we've broken the commandments of God. This is the message. Jesus, his death on the cross. Number three, his resurrection. He overcame death so we can have life. And it's not some ambiguous spiritual thing. He was witnessed by many. And then number four, faith. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day? That's the simple message. And so when you're out and you're just like, hey, I feel like, you know, I'm going to go out and talk about Jesus to somebody, or you get that opportunity, right? When someone's just like, hey, I heard you were a Christian. Yeah. You get that moment. Like, we've all been there. It's okay. We can all kind of like, you know, oh no, am I going to have to do something crazy? Am I going to have to talk like Bobby? Like, you know, whatever. Like, they have to freak. No, it's just simply this. In that moment, you have the opportunity to say, hey, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Do you? No, well, I believe he's a good person. You know, da, da, da. Okay. All right, well, here's what I believe. He was actually God that came down. And he lived the life we couldn't. Have you ever done something you didn't want to do? According to, like, kind of broke your own conscience? See, you don't even have to believe in the Ten Commandments. Because you know that within yourself, you can't even keep your own commandments, which points to a brokenness in the world, right? I mean, I can relate to that. You go, well, yeah. Well, God has created a solution for that brokenness. It's found in the death of Jesus Christ. Well, how does that make sense? And you start going, well, our sins went with him on the cross. He took all that brokenness with him and died and then rose again on the third day. So that as he has life, he now offers that life to you. It's a crazy story. But I believe that you too can be saved if you just simply believe what I just said. And hopefully by the grace of God, you know what? I think I want that. And then just go, will you pray with me? And just have them proclaim, just repeat after me, Lord, I believe in you, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose again on the third day. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Fill me with your spirit, that I may have life. See how, like, those are the elements of the gospel. And if you're a Christian here, you were called to preach. That is, okay, I don't want to freak out. I'm going to stay calm. So please just hear me so I don't have to yell. Fair? You have been given the most important message of mankind. You've been given a cure to the brokenness of this world. Brothers and sisters, be a good steward. Like, for some reason, God has chosen the church, as messy and as broken as we are, to be the pillar to proclaim the gospel, and said, you know, God could have done this any other way, but for some reason, he chose us and said, I'm going to grant you the most important message of all mankind, and I'm going to use your mouth to preach it. Go. Oh, wait. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to help you. You're not alone. I'm with you. This is the message. Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, and do you believe? It's no different than some of you may have remembered from back in the day, the four spiritual laws, that we're dead in our sin, that we're separated from God because of our sin. But Jesus came to bridge the gap that we will never be able to cross on our own by his life, death, and resurrection. If you believe this, you will be saved. And then we have the Romans Road. Who's heard of the Romans Road? This is when you open up your scriptures and you highlight stuff, which, by the way, if you have a Bible, you can highlight it, which is why I like real Bibles, the electronic stuff. I love it. I use it. Man, I love Bibles. So, open up. Well, I heard you're a Christian. Well, can I take you, can I read you a few things? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the consequences of our sin is death. Because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is bad news. That God has shown us and revealed to us that we are sinners and we are in need of saving. But Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins by his death. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And we can receive salvation, or we can be saved through faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Because Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And through that, you can now have peace with God. For Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? See, here's the thing. Church, for some reason, has become this thing where, like, all the evangelism and all the preaching of the gospel or the proclamation of the gospel has fallen on the pastor. It's not how it's laid out in Scripture. That we are all given stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are called to preach this message. You can reach people I can't. I have story after story of this, but for time's sake, I need to move on. See, you are a man with a message. And because you are a man that has been saved by the grace of God and have been given stewardship of a message, you can now go break the walls of hell. You can bind and rebuke. You have authority in Jesus Christ to set the captives free. Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It is this message that has the power. Just go out and talk it. Say it. Right? Like, just because it's not like your amazing ability to be able to dazzle people with your words. Okay, just preach the gospel. And then what happens? So you are a man with a message. and we get to see manifestation. Verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on even the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God, which means worshiping God. And then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing his people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to remain for a few days. First of all, I love it in verse 44. Peter's preaching, and then he's just interrupted. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. That would be awesome. Like, right, you can interrupt my sermon if you want to get saved. FYI, which means for your information, for those of you that don't know. So, all right, so, like, you can just, okay, so what is a manifestation? It's an event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something, especially a theory or an abstract idea. So a manifestation is effects, theory comes in or abstract idea comes in, and it manifests something in your life. You see, true faith always produces fruit. True faith always produces fruit. Look at James 2 up on the screen. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith, what? By my works. It's like a mic drop. Like, no? Am I? Okay, all right. Man, so good. James' focus here isn't on works for your salvation, but a salvation that produces works. True faith always produces a manifestation. It is the great therefore. The gospel of Jesus Christ, therefore, live as such. Jesus commands us to preach. We get to. We absolutely get to. See, your sin has been forgiven. God would say, you are my sons and daughters, and eternal life is your destiny. It has been secured. Now go tell others. Just hear that. Like through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God says, I love you with an undying, never-ending, always chasing love. That love will never, ever, you will never, ever, ever be separated from that love. Now go tell others about that love. Matthew 28, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, as a church, may we remember that we are just men, but we have a message. And through our works and words, may we manifest the glory of God to others, to his glory and our joy. And all God's people said, amen. If I could have the band come up, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I know you're not done yet, God. Like, I can feel what you're doing here, God. And I pray that you would begin to work in the hearts of your people and that you'd bring about sanctification, Lord God, in your saints, that your saints would be called to, like, finally get the understanding of the calling over their lives, to step into this amazing purpose and this invitation to be able to go about preaching and speaking your great news. And Father, for those of you that don't know you, I pray that you would do a special work in the hearts of those people and that you would say it, you would draw, you would reveal your love to them. God has risen from the dead, amen. Because he lives, because Jesus lives, let's stand and sing.